Just a thought this morning. Pastor Shell on Wednesday night spoke about integrity. It was great, amazing message. And we then there's Thanksgiving, right? And we think about Thanksgiving, but I was just thinking about how important integrity is before I am Thanksgiving or giving thanks. Because what if God was not faithful? How could I give thanks to God if he was a God who changed? You know, Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord your God and I change not. And I was thinking about this word integrity, and I was just thinking about there's a portion in the book of Job, and Pastor Shpeli spoke about it yesterday. It's like at the lunch wrap, he said, modern day Christianity does not like the book of Job simply because it's about suffering. You know, the whole prosperity movement, the whole, get everything you can and blessing. It's a curveball when you look at the book of Job. Because the book of Job says you are following God and you are still having a difficult time. And this portion in Job chapter 2, verse 3, it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he hold fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And this is the thing in our lives as believers, when we realize that when everything is going upside down, when everything is going topsy-turvy, when all you have has been removed, that's the time when God is still faithful. God has not changed. And you know what's amazing? The devil hates this word called integrity. It's wholeness. It's complete. Why? Because he himself was not whole. When the test came, he went against God. And it's interesting because right after that, Satan says, okay, let me test him. And this is after Job has lost his cattle, his family, his belongings. And then it says this, verse 7 of Job chapter 2. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And Job took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And interesting, this is what it says. Verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And I really believe, like, here the devil put something in Job's wife's mouth, because it's the same thing that that Satan said to God. He will curse you if you take all from him. And it's interesting, in Job chapter 30, verse 1, verse 6, Job says this, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know mine integrity. The balance of life, when you have, when you don't have. And it's interesting, I was reading a story about pennies being taken away, and it was talking about in means and weights and measures as it pertains to produce. And instead of having, 16 ounces, something's only put 12 ounces. And how much money, talked about billions of dollars in the U.S. economy that is lost because of a balance that's not correct. Cheating on the balance. You know, and in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, when David lost all, what happened? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But here we see Job, we see David, but really where we get to see the integrity is on the cross. When Jesus Christ bore all of our sin, and he still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this is what I love about this word integrity. Because it's what I want for my life. It's what I want to operate in. It's why I come to church. It's why I hear the word of God. We grow from faith unto faith, from glory to glory, from strength unto strength. It's God's integrity. We see it in his word. We read it. We see it in the body. We're growing in it, and it's a beautiful thing. And because of that, we can give thanks in all things. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And this is just an amazing thought, you know, and I just love that thought on integrity. Because it's like you can say, well, I don't have it. Of course we don't have it. But we can grow in it. We can receive it from God. We can learn of him and we can grow. And you know, it's amazing as we get ready to take the offering. This is one area where the devil would love to attack over and over and over and over again. It's not to have integrity in our giving. Not to trust God in our giving. Not to expect from God in the giving. To look at our suffering, to look at what we don't have, to look at our situation to say, I can't give. Instead of looking to a faithful God who is the Lord our God and he changes not. His faithfulness doesn't change. His character doesn't change. And that's why we can give. So this morning, let's just think about that. Like, don't let the devil come in and say, ah, you can't give. Say, no, God is faithful. And because he is faithful, I can trust him with all I have because he doesn't change. If he's faithful to save me, he will be faithful in every detail of my life. And that's so encouraging to all of us. So this morning, let's give to a faithful God who never changes. Imagine if God would change. I saved you. I think I'm going to take back my salvation. He can't. He can't. Because he's an unchanging God. His integrity is from generation to generation. He is eternal and he remains the same. And that's why we can give. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your integrity. From the garden to the cross, even to the end of our Bible, you remain the same. Father, thank you that we can grow in integrity. And then the area of giving, we can give to you because you never change. Bless this offering for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. And don't forget, I think Grace Hour, I don't know if this was from Wednesday night. Okay. So, all right, amen.
All right, let's pray. You can either stand or sit. It will work either way. Our Father, thank you. Thanksgiving is now behind us in the rearview mirror, but our hearts are still so filled with gratitude because we have Jesus and we have your promises and we have the body of Christ and we have vision and purpose for our lives. So the gratitude, the thanksgiving continues in our hearts, and we just want to once again say thank you, Lord, for who you are, for all that you've done for us. Bless your servant, Pastor Schaller, as he steps into the pulpit. Anoint him with your Holy Spirit this morning. You have a word for us, Father. And we pray that each one of us would hear it and would receive it and would respond to it. And all of it would result in the praise to the glory of your grace. We're grateful. We're thankful people this morning. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 13 as we read this scripture regarding Christ being the same yesterday and today and forever. I was reading about the paganism in the time when the Jews had left Egypt and they went into the land, and the Canaanite gods and Philistine gods and there were many gods. They had Molech, Chemosh, different names. And they were told not to worship them. And one of the points that the writer made was that when you worship one god, then you cannot be totally loyal to one when you have many. So you have to worship one, and then you worship another. And yet also, these gods could be jealous of each other. And you may be cursed or fall out of favor with one god because of another. This may sound strange to you in your mind, but I think it's instructive. We are blessed with one God, the only wise God. There is no other. And for the Jew to ignore these gods is very similar to where we are today in the 21st century, because we have idolatry in our hearts. We worship various things. At our family Thanksgiving table, I led a discussion with our family on the subject of Martin Luther's teaching about four gods that are commonly worshipped in Germany at the time of his life. And they were the god of the, and I'll write them down, the god of the cave, and that means your home, where you live. There was the god of the clan, that means your people group, your nation, or your family, your particular group of people, Puerto Rican, Russian, Ukrainian, Spanish, Brazilian, Chinese, Korean. We have the clan that we are attached to. Then he said there was the god of the marketplace. This is the mall and Wall Street, and wherever you buy and sell, make money or lose money, and then the god of the theater, or we could say entertainment. So in our family discussion, we took time. I told them the idea, and then they talked with each other. And I enjoyed it. At the end of the day, when I went to sleep, this is what I recalled, this conversation, this fellowship. And one of my children said that at the hospital, there was a man who had given himself to business, and he said that I should have, he was dying. And he said, I've spent my life giving my time and my energy to my business, but I should have spent my time with my family. And I said, yeah, that sounds good. Maybe he learned something, but he still missed the whole point of life. Because these gods that make up our life are changeable. They are gods of the earth, of the world, and of the human heart. What we desire and what we long for. And so we read now in Hebrews 13 this very profound portion of Scripture. And we can start from verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We are not covetous. It says in verse 5, our conversation is without covetousness. Covetousness means, it's another word for greed or reaching, lust or reaching. It's a lust or desire for things, material things, but you can be covetous of another man's wife. or covetous of a family or covetous of your neighbor's goods. You could be covetous of a job or a success. You could be covetous of reputation. I want to have a good reputation. This is what my life is about. But it says, we don't have this because the Lord is my helper. We should go back to verse 5 for context. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Imagine, I don't want anything of yours. I don't compare myself to anything that you have. I am fully satisfied in myself. I am fully satisfied in God. Not in myself in the sense of me, but in God who is in us. I mean, he is really ours. I was thinking of a Richard Wurmbrand illustration of imputation, and he said this interesting for you to understand, that our sins went on his body and his righteousness came to us. And Richard Wurmbrand used this illustration. He said, when a man goes to the hospital and gets a blood transfusion from another person, his blood has come from another person, and he walks out of the hospital. 1 hour later, he cuts his finger and he bleeds. Whose blood is it that he's bleeding? His blood. For the transfusion blood that was not his own became his own, and he is bleeding his blood. Good illustration, I think. When Jesus died on the cross, he took our sin on his body and was judged. Was Jesus an adulterer? No, but yes. He was a liar and an adulterer and a thief. Yes, he was a murderer. Yes, because our sin was imputed to him. We have been made the righteousness of God, and he's become the sin of man. So now we are relating to our Heavenly Father in this amazing miracle of grace. For this all happened when we were unworthy of it and didn't deserve it. So go to now the verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Please learn that. Please learn to have your riches in Christ. Please learn to rejoice in Christ. Learn to have nothing. Learn to lose. Learn to lose your health, your money, your time. Learn to give it away. Learn to give to God. Learn to have very, learn to lose. It's a great idea. It's a great thing. I don't have any stress or strife in my heart about lusting or desiring things, for we have God. This is the main thrust here of the text. Look at verse 5. It said, for be content with such things as you have. It sounds like material things, right? How could I be contented when you have more than me? Because I have God. I have God. How can I be contented when you are healthier than I am? Because I have God. How can I be satisfied when you have something better than me? Because I have God. I have God. This is amazing. But you know, this might be too high for some people. But I want you to listen to me, because it'll grow in you and you will learn it. And you must realize that your mortal body is perishing day by day. Perishing, our mortal body. We are eventually not going to have any more Thanksgivings. Not have a family member next to it. It'll be over. Not to be healthy, not to have. The day will come someday. No one knows when. Nobody knows. None of us know when it is over, right? Are you okay with that? That's why you come here. Because it builds you up in your inner man and speaks to your heart. I talked to a man on the phone yesterday. He wants to come back to church. He said, you know, I have an addiction problem. And he said, but I know there's no church like this one, he said. And of course, he's excited about it. He knows it. Many years. But he said, I don't think I want to come back. And he gave his reasons, you know. And I said, well, pray about it. But don't let a small thing keep you back from what you need. Because the Holy Spirit will speak to you and lead you. And you will overcome all the obstacles, whatever they are. And they are very small in his case. And they are in most people's cases. It's a very small thing. One brother who had been away for 4 years was ashamed to come back to the church. So I told him I would meet him in the parking lot and walk in with him. And I said, nobody will say anything except glad to see you, love you, and so on. Maybe somebody will say, where have you been? Where's your documentation? Where have you been? Maybe somebody will, but you get over that. Don't worry about it. But we are so, because there's one thing that you and I need very much, and that is a living relationship with God. That you are so contented and satisfied with life because you have found God. We all have found these gods. We have all found them, but they change. You're the God of your body, your health, that changes. Ecclesiastes 12, 2 Corinthians 4. The God of your life, in time, our lives change, our relationships change, things change, a failure happens, we get hurt in life, all kinds of things go on in this world, but there's one thing that never changes, and that's God. Let's read it, verse 5. He said, as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you, never forsake you. This is what God says. Is it enough? You know, you might say, freezing in the cold, isolated, some barren place in Central Asia. I remember Pastor Mati being stuck at the border of, I think it was Kazakhstan and China. And he goes, it was so cold. And it was so crazy. We were stuck. But we have God. You can tell stories. Been dropped off somewhere. You didn't know where you were or what was going on, but you had God. Maybe you were thrown overboard in the ocean. I met a Vietnamese boat person when I was knocking on doors. He had left Vietnam on a boat. The pirates caught his boat, and they took him and threw him in the ocean and left him. He said, I was in the ocean for 24 hours. And he said, I fell asleep. And I would wake up by choking, drowning. And I'd fight back to the surface, to the water. And he said, I lived. I survived. I go, God saved you. He said he did. Yeah. Do you know that this is real? Do you know that this Bible is saying something that is important for you and me? Look at verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you. That means me for some of you. It means for Dr. Stevens, for some of us. We remember his ministry. It means somebody I can follow them. I can have touch them with my hands. I can listen to them and be with them. They have the rule over me. They are ordained of God to help me to understand this amazing book, to speak words of life, to minister the Holy Spirit. And we remember them and how they live, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Verse 7, they have spoken unto you the word of God, not word of men or the opinions of men, but the word of God. They open up the word of God and they speak the word of God. Isn't it amazing? I am so hungry for the word of God. Amos chapter 8, verse 11, I will send a famine, not of bread, but of the word of God. When we were in the communist world, there was a famine of the word of God, and people would come to listen to the word of God. And God said to the Jews in Amos 8, he said, even if you seek it and you try to find it, you will not find it. That was a judgment on the people. When the people lose the word of God, it's a judgment on them. They do not have the word of God. Google for me, I want to skip along here and get moving because we haven't gotten there yet, but if you want to Google an interesting historical figure, his name is Edmund Burke. During the American Revolutionary time, he was a British politician and parliamentarian, and he had some very interesting things to say about religion and the colonies and the reason why the colonies are in rebellion and why they are buying so many Bibles. In that period of history, they were buying law books and devotional books, and the colonies were hungry for the Bible. This country, the beginning of this country, before we were free, we were hungry. It was a religious people. And Edmund Burke wrote about it, and many historical people have said, when the people lose the Bible, the standard, and they lose the law, then it becomes lawless, and they do whatever they want in their own eyes. And we know this. And we're watching it happen. But why do you want to live like that? I don't want to live like that. Why do you want to live like a dog or an alley cat? Why do you want to live like an arrogant person? Why do you want to live like a powerful, arrogant tyrant in your home or at work or in your business? Why would you want to live in the flesh? Why do you want to look at pornography day and night and play video games and watch movie after movie after movie and be empty up here and in your heart? No, you don't want to live a sinful life. It's not good. Your sins will reprove you, Jeremiah 2:19. I will show you. I love this. I want to show you a unique verse. Please just flip over to Micah. God bless you, folks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mike, if we can find it. Or is it? Yes, I got you to the wrong book. Or is it? Yeah, it's Amos 6, verse 12. Amos 6, 12. Shall horses run upon the rock? It's like a contradiction. Will one plow there with oxen? Can you plow on a rock? with oxen. You have turned judgment into gall and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. What is gall? It's that bitter chemical that your body, the gallbladder makes, that green stuff. It's very bitter. It means bitterness, gall. Hemlock is poison. The fruit of righteousness is turned into hemlock or poison. People say, if you live like that, that's like poison. You live a Christian life, it's like poison. That's poison. You're a bigot. You're a racist. You're narrow-minded. That's hemlock. He is poison. They call sweet bitter, bitter sweet. Isaiah 5:20. Same principle. Yes, here. Let them talk their talk. I want to live my life. I will live my life my way because God is a real God. These gods are not. They will take you and consume your life and steal from you and not make you what you should be. But as you follow God, the living God, look at back to 13, Hebrews 13, and we will finish up here. Perhaps verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. How do we gather? By faith. How do you evangelize people and share your faith? By faith. How do you say prayers in the night? Faith. How do you start thinking about missions? By faith. How do you think about going to Bible school? By faith. How do you think about taking up the cross and learning the cross life, sacrifice, suffering, losing? No, I don't want to hear about that. Being unjustly treated? No, I want to have bitterness and anger and revenge. That's what I want. It was sweet revenge. I want hatred in my heart. God is saying, no. No, by faith, follow me. By faith, you will be sweet. You'll be strong. You'll be anointed. You'll be encouraged. You'll be satisfied. You'll have a word in season. You'll have wisdom. You'll make certain decisions. You'll end up having friends. You have people around you, spiritual family, that'll be edifying. No, I want God, the only wise God. All the other gods are of no interest to me. They don't have a message. They do not have life. And they change. They do. We'll finish. Look at chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Don't you love it? I can tell that you just like to even to hear the verse read and you just get lit up. Yes, the same yesterday, today. Tell me about him, preacher. Tell me about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Tell me about Jesus. I want to hear about Jesus. I want to know everything I can about Jesus Christ. He is my God. Now I have no other God. You can take it all, but here's the thing. When you have him, you get these things. You do. You get these things. You have a home. You may have a turkey dinner or a chicken dinner. You might have a can of beans. That you got a home. What's a home? It's an atmosphere. It's love. God is with us. God is in our presence. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all of our lives, he will never change. We got hooked up to a wagon train that's going somewhere. We got hooked up to the living God in his family. We are changed on the inside from glory to glory because our God is not changing. When he says, I love you, he's saying, I love you all the time with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3. When he says, I'll speak to you, I won't forsake you, I'll be with you always in the good times and the bad times, then this is God. That's the kind of God that wins your heart, that you will follow him and embrace him. That's our treasure. That's precious, isn't it? Look at verse 8 and then 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And there are plenty of them, but they are not Jesus. Somebody said, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Jesus Spirit. I believe in Christ. I believe there have been many Christs through history. I go, is he the one, the Christ that died on the cross, came once as a man on the cross? Oh, no, no, many Christs. So that's a different God. That's no God. That's the old, that's rehashed paganism. Recycled through the machine. Recycled paganism is the New Age movement. New Age, oh, the New Age is the old paganism. That's all it is. It's trash. It's emptiness. It's sin. It's unbelief. It's arrogance. It's pride. It cannot change the heart of man. There's only one answer for man, and that is God. But what kind of God? Who is he? He is the God called Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did in the Gospels, he's still doing today. He is helping us. He's changing us. He's healing us. He's saving us. He's caring for us. And then one day, the trumpet will sound, and he'll take us out. And you know what will happen on the earth? They'll have their new age. They'll have a new age. It's called the Great Tribulation. It'll be hell on earth like you've never seen before. We'll be in heaven. We will observe it. They will cry out from under the altar in Revelation chapter 6. It'll be a terrible time for the human race. Nobody would ever make it to the end if it wasn't cut short. That's how bad it was. So one man calculated, from 7.5 billion people, the start of the tribulation, if it happened now, at the end, with all of the catastrophes and all of the wars and all of the death, there would be only 100,000 people left living at the end. That was his calculation. I don't know if it's true, but I think it's an incredible message of a disaster that these gods are no gods. They are lies in the human heart. But our God gave us a new heart, a new spirit, calls us by name. We have a real shepherd who is a real God who will always be with you and care for you. So be satisfied with that. And yes, we can be motivated people. Yes, we can do not be consumed with the things of this life. Be spiritually fed, edified, and stay away from the vices that can take you down and destroy your life. You are not made to be destroyed. You're made to be glorifying God all the days of your life, with your outer man perishing, but the inner man being renewed all the time. And that's why you are here listening, and why you are loving the brethren and living in faith and knowing the reality of our precious Savior. Amen. Would you pray with me? take your family, precious as they are, in your heart, say they are precious, but they will be gone one day. But you, God, will never be gone. You are more important than my family and my very life. It's all yours. And if you would give me my family, I appreciate that and love you for that. And thank you for all of your goodness toward me. And I appreciate what you give me. And in the clan, and in the market, and in the theater, all those things, but they will not determine for me my happiness, for I have found contentment in following you, the only wise God. Fill me with your joy always, and your mind and heart, and ministry of helping and serving others. May I get outside my comfort zone by following you in my life of faith, for you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you expand the lives of people. You give us new capacity and new life. Maybe somebody here has never started your journey of faith. Do it today. And in your heart, say to Jesus, it's your prayer to him, Lord Jesus Christ, save me. Come into my life. I need you. You are my God, and I have no other. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.